Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Last Friday night, we watched the Celtics get blown out by the New York Knicks to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. So we are in the off-season here on WEEI Afternoons, but we get one last chat with Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Scal is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow, and by findmassmoney.gov. Scal, how we doing this week? And can you explain to me why I'm watching Pacers, Knicks, and not the Celtics advancing?
I mean, it all goes back to those two games that we blew. Like, if you don't blow those games, you're up 2-0. The Celtics losing that series, if you blow one of those leads, but to kind of get trapped like that twice, that's where it all started. And like, think about it. Like, people think, well, you could still win the series. That means, like, theoretically, you played well enough to beat a team 6 out of 7 times, and then four times in a row during the season, during the regular season. So then the Jason Tatum injury is like, it was a disastrous finish to, I think, all of us expecting like that team to walk through the playoffs.
Scal, just talking about that, kind of game 6, coming off of the great, game 5 that the team had without JT. I mean, when you look at just kind of how the game 6 played out, I mean, it was a blowout. It was never close to you. I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to judge the organization and maybe even a little bit of JB to some degree. Do you think that the way they played in game 6 is an indictment to the organization or to JB at all? How do you look at the way the season ended with that performance in game 6?
Not like that. I think when I like kind of break down that game, I think, all right, Derek White got going in game 5. We talked about Derek White. And then, like, I don't know how you see it, but the way I watch it, as the Celtics were coming down in transition, you should see, like, the individual guys that would sprint to Derek White 35 feet from the basket, and they were just like, we cannot allow Derek White to make any transition threes. So they take one of our, that was 34 points, and, for basketball, if you start making shots early, other things open up, and, momentum and all that stuff. So they did a good job of taking him out of this scenario. And then, all year long, the players are clearly good enough, like Holiday, Brown, those guys, Porzingis, who obviously had the illness. Those guys are good enough to carry a team, or they could do it collectively. But once Tatum was out, it was weird that we had nowhere to go at that point. And Brown is usually really dominated with you know, when he has space, if you just Tatum's out there, White and then Porzingis, and people are really worried about him. Brown's allowed to get to the paint, play off 2 feet, kind of pivot around, and then score. And so that was like not going to happen anymore. The Knicks had a great rim protection in Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns. And then for Brown, he just didn't have another place to go. And, you know, for him, it would be like that's something that you have to learn. You have to learn how to break down defenses. You have to learn how to see two players that are leaning towards you and then hit the right guy at the right time. So there's a lot of things that – and it took Tatum a long time. Like I always thought last year he just started coming into his own. This year he was incredible at reading all the coverages and making the right play. But that takes time. So obviously we were great because Derek White had it going and then Jaylen Brown was ridiculous defensively, high energy and all that. But that's hard to sustain, and that was a hard carryover. And the Knicks were impressive. You have to admit, like, of all the games they played, that was – forget the 20-point comeback. That was the most impressive game that they played.
But, Scal, I think something that Celtics fans have been wondering ever since the season ended so unceremoniously last Friday night was, how does a team go from playing what might be their best game of the season, if not the last couple of years, to – how the hell does the team play easily their worst game of the year, if not the last several decades, all within a span of 48 hours?
Because you're not factoring in the other team. And, you know, the other team went shot for shot with the Celtics, and we were playing great. Both teams were playing great basketball at the end of the first half of game five. You know, I think we were close. Both teams shooting close to 50% from three and moving the ball and, like playing out of their mind. And then the third quarter happened. So, you know, it was one quarter where the Knicks probably mailed it in and the Celtics kept bombing threes. And, you know, water kind of finds its level. So I think the margins are a lot smaller. Like, we probably didn't play as great as you might think if you're looking at the opponent. And then vice versa. Like, the Knicks, you know, once they got up by a certain amount, like, our team just didn't have the horsepower to come back or the energy based off what they led in game five. Like, it's not – you know, if those were separated out, like, you know, 2 weeks, you can make that argument. But just with 2 days, and then also, you know, I started out by saying give the Knicks credit. When Derek White was on the floor in game six, watch the difference. I've never seen – this is like the reaction to the way they treated Derek White was the same reaction that you see with Steph Curry. Like, people lose their minds running out to Steph Curry, two guys, just to not give up a three from Steph, and they give up a wide open dunk from Draymond Green. Like, that was the Knicks' decision. I can tell you right away, like, right when I saw that game, I'm saying, okay, well, today is going to be a day where it's going to be really hard for Derek White to get free, and he had 34. So now he has to deal with the idea of getting face guarded like Steph Curry. But Steph Curry can also go for 40, but he's seen that coverage, you know, 10,000 times in his life, I would assume.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. Along those lines, you talk about an adjustment they made on Derek White. Did you think Tibbs outcoached Mazzulla in this series? Was there a coaching advantage for the Knicks that played out in addition to the shooting and the injuries and everything else that played?
I don't look at anything like that. Like, this guy outcoached that guy, and I know that people like to use that term. But the Knicks outplayed the Celtics in game one and two. In the third, halfway through the third quarter and the fourth quarter. So I would point to that. And there's no doubt about it. Now, I'm as critical as anybody about I've countless times on the broadcast, and I see sometimes we could still squeeze out a win. And when you lose 1 of 82, it's not that big of a deal. But in the playoffs, it obviously is. But and I've always said this, like, look at our pace as the game goes along. We're one of the slowest teams in the fourth quarter, and I've always, like, lived by this. Now, I'm not the coach, and I don't know what Joe knows. I just know when, like, we're at our best, like, we're kind of pushing the ball, and it doesn't mean, like, I'm not like my man Tommy, where I'm like, run no matter what, even though it would be interesting if we ran no matter what, how good this team would be. And, like, I always think, like, okay, when you run and you have more talent – and you move the ball because you have, like, this unique system where you have five guys on the court that can bomb a three. So why wouldn't you just continue to put the teams in rotation and then bomb threes, right? I would think, why would you ever, with a team like this, ever dribble the ball for 20 seconds and take a step back? I don't know if I would ever think that that's okay. But it does seem like we get a 20-point lead, and in the second half, we, like, start walking the ball up the court. Now, I know there's a reason for it. I have no idea what that reason is, but it caught us. It caught us. It cost us, I can't say a championship, but I could definitely say it cost us game one and game two, and I just don't understand it. And I wish there was a reason, and I wish there was something that I didn't, like, that I knew. Well, here's – when you have – this guy, this is what you want to do. Or were they practicing for something that I was unaware of? But, like, that kind of stuff is hard to win. And if I was the other team, what I would do is exactly what teams do. They crash four guys to the glass. So we're going to walk the ball up anyways. You have no threat at all of getting giving up a layup. So it's not just, wait, we can walk the ball up. Like, there's more to it. Like, now they get offensive rebounds and confidence, and they get to the free throw line. There's a lot that goes into it. Basketball is not an offense or defense game. Everything is connected. A bad shot leads to a break. A missed layup leads to a five-point swing. Walking the ball up the court leads to teams wanting to push and fight on the offensive glass and crashing four. Historically, in the NBA, you crash four, you get burned. But we don't burn people in the second half for whatever reason. I mean, go look at our fast break points in the second half. It's like it should never be the case when you have this much talent. But there is a reason. I just don't know what it is.
All right, Scal, I was one of my questions, and Dan Ball can vouch for it because I wrote it down right here. My question number six for Scal was, do you have a hard time giving New York credit? Well, you have given them credit, especially against how they played the Celtics. But just in general, what do you think, how does the Eastern Conference Finals play out? I mean, are the Knicks, do you think, a championship medal team? How do you see things playing out between them and the Pacers?
So, all full transparency, like, I've known Jalen Brunson since he was, like, in ninth grade or something like that. I played for Tibbs and Rick Brunson in Chicago, and Jalen used to come by afterwards. And I could not – I thought the way that Rick Brunson would ride Jalen while he worked him out, I was like, man, that's tough, man. This guy's, like, really hard on his kid. And I'm like, man, I'm pretty hard on my kid, right? And I was like, man, how can this kid endure this stuff, right? So – if any kid could endure, like, the attention to detail that Rick Brunson, I kind of worked with him, I was like, okay, this kid has a special mindset, and he does. That's the reality. Went in high school, never went to, like, I'm going to go to the best school and be, like, the sixth man. Like, he just went to the school. AAU is the same thing. Like, played in the local AAU tournament. Went to Villanova, won. Went to Dallas, no Luka Doncic, won. Going to the Knicks, he won. So we should give him a lot of credit. And I think, like, where I stand is, I got to give those other guys a lot more credit than I did. Like, I like Josh Hart, but I thought they would miss DiVincenzo. And I thought, like, Karl-Anthony Towns is, like, not what they needed. But clearly, it all worked out. But just like anything, and I'll be the first to admit it, I'm not anything as a player unless I'm with a really good player. And I got a chance to play with Jason Kidd early on, and Rondo and Pierce and Garnett and Allen and, like, those guys, right? That allows me to be a better NBA player than I actually was. So I think, like, Brunson has that gravity towards him. The rest of those guys, like, they kind of gained their confidence from Brunson. But I was shocked. Are they championship medal? They don't look like it. But I think Brunson, a lot like Steph Curry, and I've coached Steph and I've been around Brunson, they got a lot of similarities in their mindset. And I think that kind of holds true with why those two have had a lot of success.
Yep. I can't wait for the Pacers to win in five. Scal, sorry.
Knicks fans?
I saw them throw trash at that guy. Come on. Get out of here with that nonsense. Throwing trash on the guy in the Tyrese Halliburton jersey.
Yeah, I know.
That's not cool.
That is so rude, man. I know, but
making Eagles fans look nice.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, if you watch Brunson, don't you think, like, the guy's 6'1". Look what he does. Like, he's
awesome.
He's incredible.
Scal, I did want to ask one thing. In the aftermath of the Game 6 loss, as most Celtics fans probably quickly turned the TV off or just went to binge drinking and, you know, streaming stuff on their televisions, you did say that you felt like at times they cheated the game. Could you explain?
Yeah, for sure.
Could you explain that to us? And was that in regards to the series, the season, or both?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Like, just like probably more the games one and two, but, like, in the 82 games, you know, like, you can have bad habits and still win games. Like I would say like our 2010 team kind of did that a little bit. Like just didn't have like the right winning habits, didn't have the same winning habits that they had the year before. And then that in turn comes back to bite you. That's just how it works. And it came back to bite us. Like we had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. I probably could have won that, but then, you know, maybe the habits of cheating the game throughout the season. Like I know people like want to like think the regular season doesn't matter. It does matter. Like the habits you build in the regular season matter. And so, you know, you watch that team and you watch how they kind of like got snake bit a few times by, you know, hey, we're okay. It's a long season. We can miss shots and I would say no problem if you're missing shots, but if it's not that big of a deal, then why does it affect your defense on the other end? How are you giving up 38 points in the fourth quarter to the Knicks? And I could say the exact same thing about Minnesota last night. I don't know if you guys caught that game, but yeah, we got some wide open shots and we missed. Okay, great. That's not that big of a deal. Okay, then why do you give up 70 in the second half then? If you're not affected by those missed shots, then why are you giving up 70? So then I would say, all right, well, if you are having to be affected a little bit more than you say you are, then all of a sudden, then you would drive it and you would move it and you would do some things different just to forget offense for 1 second, just to set your defense, right? And that's where I felt like they, you know, like if everything is based off of makes and misses and we miss some wide open shots and it's not that big of a deal, then how come when we watch, it looks like a big deal? How come it looks like everyone slumps their shoulders and gets back on defense and we give up offensive rebounds and all those things if it's not that big of a deal? So that's where I kind of feel like, you know, are you building championship habits? Last year, there was no doubt. Now, I think the East is better, no doubt about that. But you building championship habits to start and you just keep on going. And you have slip-ups. Everyone does. But you don't blow two 20-point leads at home in the third from the third quarter. It's actually never happened in NBA playoff history that a team blew two 20-point leads. Think about that. Ever. Not ever in an entire playoff series, a playoff run, it happened in back-to-back nights.
Not the history we thought the Celtics would be making, but Scal, we're in the offseason. Brad Stevens held his press conference. He kind of deflected a lot of the big picture questions the other day. Seems like a lot of people on the outside are expecting changes, trades, Porzingis, guys not back. Are you of that mindset? Are you not quite sure yet? How would you handicap this offseason we're embarking on?
Yeah, I don't know. I went into that press conference. My boy Kevin Miller wanted me to work thinking that Brad was going to make some firework announcements. That was like we're really disappointed. Of course you're disappointed. We knew you were disappointed that you lost. What are you going to do about it? You know, So I don't know. And I think they probably could have had a plan beforehand. And then Jason Tatum gets hurt. It has to reevaluate your plan. So, you know, I if you would ask me if Jason Tatum was healthy and all these things, I'd probably have a different answer. With the Tatum injury, when is he coming back? I don't know. Are they going to apply for a designated player exception? Like there's all kinds of things that I have no idea what they're going to do. So I have I'm being honest. I have no idea what they're going to do.
Who do you think? Is there any untouchables? I mean, is Jaylen Brown, D. White, anybody you see on this team as just untouchable? First trades.
Oh, that's a good question, Ted. That's a loaded question. I'll just lie. I'll lie to you. Ready? I'll lie to you. Brown, Tatum, and White, untouchable. Pritchard at his number, untouchable. Those are four untouchables. All right. I'll give you that. By the way, Ted, I don't even know if you know. That's a great loaded question on your part, and I give you a ton of credit for doing it, my man.
It's my last one. I wanted to slide in real quick there. I appreciate you indulging me.
Good one. That was a good one, Ted. That's worse than you doing the 24 push-ups to my, or pull-ups to my pull-ups. Two.
Also, there was one other something I heard. I think it was actually on the podcast with LeBron and Steve Nash. Scal.
Bored?
They accused them of being bored. I mean, could you ever imagine a Celtics team in any iteration under any coach, especially with this pedigree, being bored with themselves? And if so, do you think next season with Tatum out reverses that potential trend? If so,
yeah. I'll tell you, I'll go even one step further. They look bored when they're healthy and whole. When they were shorthanded, they didn't look bored. And it didn't look boring for us, but for whatever reason, when they were whole, and I guess towards the end of the year, it trended a little bit better, but go look at the number. Compare, all right, you could do some work and you could tell your fans, right? Compare last year's starting five net rating to this year's starting five. Same starting five last year to this year. And look at the difference. That, to me, looks like you're bored with the details and bored with the process. But I know when they had guys out, like, you know, Luke Kornet was like a net rating darling all year long. Like, he's a backup. So for whatever reason, they had like a little bit of a spark when Kornet comes into the game and it looked different. So, yeah, everyone like uses their own language. Bored, to me, is like not focusing on attention to detail, right? It's like not doing the little things that it takes to win throughout the 82-game season. And really, when you're up by 13 in the second half or whatever it may be. But, yeah, I think there's probably a little bit of, like, that's LeBron's version of saying, like, you know, not having championship habits.
Scal, not that this is an option, I don't think, but I'm a huge JB fan, and yet earlier in the week I admitted that if I could pull it off, find some way to do it, I would absolutely trade him for the number one pick, Cooper Flagg. Would you make that deal?
That's another loaded question.
That's a good one. Just doing our job, buddy.
I mean, I would avoid that one as well. I'll steer clear of that one. I mean,
right,
maybe I've given you my answer, but yeah, I'll steer clear of that one.
Yeah.
Too.
So, okay, an easy one to end on then before we let you go. I saw that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP. I think that was expected. Is that where your vote would have gone, or do you think Jokic is still the best basketball player?
Jokic is still the best basketball player, probably the most impactful basketball player, but it's just how it goes, right? Like, voter fatigue, and by the way, like, SGA's advanced analytics, now the UPS guy is upset at me too for the Celtics losing. SGA's advanced analytics would also point to like a very good on-court, off-court, and all those things. So there's a lot where it's not just he put up monster numbers and it didn't affect winning. They both affected winning, and he put up monster numbers as well. So I think I would have went that direction as well.
Hey, Andy, real quick, I just want to ask.
You want to say hi to WEI? Say hi. Say hi.
I want to say hi to you first.
He's mad at
me. Hi, UPS.
He's mad that the Celtics lost.
That's awesome. What's up, bro? Hey, just SGA's game. Do you? A lot of people, I don't know, kind of harken it to maybe it. Like a James Harden kind of game about how he draws fouls. You like his game? It's aesthetically, you enjoy it?
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because he leads the league in drives. I like guys that drive to the basket.
Yeah.
He don't settle for three. Those guys.
Finally.
All right. You wanted the pitcher? Gotcha. See ya.
Hi, UPS guys.
This is amazing.
That's awesome. Take care of those guys.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Hey.
All right.
Hey. Life of Scal.
All right. Because he leads the league in drives, and I like guys that go to the basket. And everyone's like, he's a foul merchant. Well, I mean, there are a lot of guys in the league are just pulling up from three. At least he's getting downhill. So there's a reason he does get to the free throw line, because he does drive. Now, does he know how to accentuate contact? Yes. If you James Harden, not so much. One thing to look at, Ted, if you're looking at SGA, there's only two players in the history of the NBA to average 30 points and less than two turnovers: Michael Jordan and SGA.
Great stat.
Dang.
Did not know that. Okay.
All right, Scal, we're going to let you go the FedEx guy, the Amazon guy, whoever else comes by and joins the show. Enjoy the off season, and we'll talk to you down the road. And I'm also taking it as a yes that you would trade Jaylen Brown for Cooper Flagg, but no one needs to know. We'll just move on. Thanks, Scal.
All right, I'll talk to you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, bud.
Man. Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons, as well as his UPS delivery man. We appreciate him chiming.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Coming in with his opinions, his disappointment on the Celtics. Up next, we will react a little to Scal, but we also need to get to the Patriots OTAs. You read all the blogs and recaps from yesterday. What'd you feel good about? What'd you feel bad about? And I'm not just fixating on Drake May. A little Patriots OTA talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today. Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.